Rick, thank you for doing that because I forgot what I was going to talk about today out there. So I have my message, but I needed this. So good morning, everyone. Isn't it amazing that we serve a God who is good enough for us even when we don't feel good enough or when we face life challenges of whatever sorts? It blows me away that our world can be chaotic and kind of crashing in on us. And that old hymn, It Is Well, the gentleman who wrote that was writing in the midst of a lot of life, chaotic events in the 1800s. The Great Chicago Fire had just destroyed his business. His wife and two kids were sailing to England to see family, I think, and they were killed in a shipwreck. And so Horatio G. Spafford wrote that hymn, like, even though everything's a mess inside of my life, God, it is well, and God is enough. And so let's just ponder that today and thank God for his mercy and grace in our life, even though things may be chaotic. And on that note, I'm sure you guys have seen the news, but there's a horrible, tragic accident in Miami, Florida. There was a condo that collapsed. Apparently, they built it on some limestone about 40 years ago. And, well, they built a pool under the limestone. But everyone knows anything about beaches and limestone and pools. The water seeped out of the pool because they didn't seal it right. So apparently, like, eroded the structure. So I don't know the whole details, but 159 people are missing and five people have been killed. So let's lift those families up in prayer this morning as we begin. If you bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are our sustainer of life, that you give us everything that we need, Lord. Even though if we feel inadequate at times, or if we feel unworthy or we're down or whatever, Lord, even in joyous moments of life, Lord, we can be the happiest person, Lord, but we know something is wrong when you're not the center of our life. Lord, I'm thankful that you are enough for us, God. And today we think about Miami-Dade County. We think about the tragedy that happened there on Thursday, Lord, and those lives lost. And some of those people were brothers and sisters, Lord, and some of those people may have not known you, Lord, and that hurts me, Lord. And we know that part of that community is a Jewish community, Lord, and I pray that you'd use the Alliance in that area. I know there's a heavy Messianic Jewish ministry of the CMA in that area, and I pray that you'd use them, Lord, to bring people in this tragedy to come together and use CAMA, the Compassion and Mercy Release, or Compassion and Mercy Relief Agency of the CMA, Lord, to bring these people to you, Lord. And I just pray that your hope and your will be done in this, Lord. And God, as I talk about your word today, I talk about not only using scripture, but talking about the importance of the Bible. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me clearly, God, about why we need to read the Bible, why it's important in our life as believers, and why it gives us life. And Lord, I'm thankful that you are the giver of the life, Lord, that your word is truth. And I'm thankful, God, that that your word never changes, Lord. We may change because you change us through your word. And I'm grateful that you change us, Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we invite you in here today. We love you, and I'm thankful to have the opportunity to preach. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, as we're going through the series of the CMA's core values, we'll be in the fourth core value today, which is found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And the fourth core value is God's word is the key to all success. As an evangelical denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance believes in the authority of Scripture. The inerrancy and the infallibility of the text and the Scriptures are so important in one's life. Without Scripture, we cannot know God. Without knowing God's redemption story and plan for our lives, we are utterly lost. For over 2,000 years, the sacred text we know as the Holy Bible has withstood time, has survived wars, critics, and has been translated into over 704 languages. Yet, God still continues to minister through and use his word for his good and his glory. Amen. Here are a few quotes about the Bible. This is from President Teddy Roosevelt. A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. President Ronald Reagan once said, within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. Amen. And then Corrie ten Boom, the famous Nazi prisoner of war, she was a prisoner, she was Jewish, later became a believer because of her time in a concentration camp. She says about the Bible, I've experienced his presence in the deepest, darkest hell that man can create. I've tested the promises of the Bible, and believe me, you can count on them. I know that Jesus Christ can live in you and in me through his Holy Spirit. You can talk with him out loud, or in your heart when you're alone, as I was alone in solitary confinement, the joy that he hears is in each word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Today, as I mentioned before focusing on the fourth CMA core value, which is knowing and obeying God's word, as it is fundamental to true success in our life. The primary text we are using today, as I mentioned before, is Joshua chapter 1:8. But before we begin, I'd like to give you some context about the book of Joshua. So we know Joshua is written as a history of Israel conquering the promised land. And some of us have been around enough in Sunday school and have seen the VeggieTales video of Joshua and, you know, the enemy, whatever, conquering the walls of Jericho were grapes, but we know that wasn't true. That's just the VeggieTales, but nod to my childhood. But we get caught up in kind of what Joshua did, you know, but really the heart of what's going on here is that God is not telling Joshua that he's going to be successful because of his military endeavors, but it's because of him applying and obeying the word that God sent him. And so we'll be focusing on that this morning. So the book takes place in the context of Moses' death, which he passed the torch of leadership to Joshua, son of Nun. Joshua was the first military leader of the nation of Israel. The first chapter we find ourselves today is a conversation between God and Joshua, which was truly a pep talk for him. Joshua is about to take the stage in the most important responsibility of his life. He'll be leading the Hebrew people into the promised land of Israel. There are many unknowns, such as the enemies they'd face, where to eat, where they'd sleep, and I'm sure the fear that they truly wouldn't get to the promised land. So if you guys know the history of the Bible up to this point, you know that Moses and the Hebrew nation wandered in the wilderness because they sinned, and it was a sin that Moses, he hit a rock because he was angry at his people, and God was like, "Well, Moses, you sinned, so you're not going to the promised land." So this is the take two to get back in the promised land. However, God would use Moses in a mighty way to encourage Joshua, that regardless of outcomes, God would be there for him. The Lord tells Joshua three times in chapter 1 to be strong and courageous, and that he would never leave him nor forsake him. Now you'll be thinking, what does this have to do with Scripture? What does everything to do with Scripture? Because Scripture is our life source. Not only do we find encouragement through God through Scripture, we also understand God's plan for our life, our hope, and can make sense of our chaotic world in which we live. The Bible is God's game plan for life. And growing up, I read this book about God's game plan, and thank you, Coach Gibbs. And if you guys know football, Coach Gibbs, Joe Gibbs, is also one of the most well-known Super Bowl champions, I guess, as a coach for the Redskins. Even though I'm not a Redskins fan, but he's also a Christian, and he wrote this book called God's Game Plan for Life. So that's a nod to him. So thank you, Coach Gibbs. I know you're not listening, but it'd be cool. So a playbook is the game plan for a football team, God's Bible is our game plan for life. Without a game plan, you cannot know what is expected from you or where to begin. But with the Bible, we have all we need to know about God, what our purpose is, and how to live according to what he expects of us. We also have a guide to help us through the joys of life's moments and even the darkest days we face. Today, we'll be looking at three insights from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. They'll help us understand why we study the Bible and how we can apply it to our lives. The first insight that we'll be studying today in Joshua 1:8 is Scripture must not depart from us. And then before we get in there, let's read Joshua chapter 1 up until verse 8. And so I'll give you a minute to get there. I don't know about y'all, but when I was a little kid, we learned these Bible songs about how to memorize the books of the Bible. And so in my head, I was uttering right now, I'm like, where's Joshua? Yeah, Joshua judges Ruth. So thank you, Mom, and Bible teachers that taught me that song. So Joshua, verse 1 through 8. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give you to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river of the Euphrates and all the Hittite country to the great sea in the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I will be with you, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. I love that. The phrase in Hebrew is rock hazak, and they say in commentaries that it really wasn't like rock hazak. It's not really like a sound. It's like a sound. It's not really a word, and it means like a God like oomph. And it's just like it's like a tenacity of spirit. So God tells, you know, right here tells Joshua, be strong and courageous, because you'll lead these people into the inheritance of the land. I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. You may be successful wherever you go. And do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. So be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The reading of the word. So the first insight that comes from studying Joshua 1:8 is Scripture must not depart from us. This command seems clear to us that God wants us to keep his word. However, at times in life, keeping God's word in our mouths and our hearts can be quite challenging, especially when we're not living for God. Keeping Scripture takes diligent practice and effort. And to be honest, there are moments in my life that I do not like studying Scripture or reading my devotionals or spending time communing with God in prayer. But what happens in those lives, or in my life, when you don't redo those things, when you don't read the Bible? We're tempted to sin more, we feel distant from God, and become more agitated and angrier. By studying God's Scripture and keeping his word in our mouths and our hearts, we not only honor him, but we're able to speak truth in the lives of other people. Perhaps what you're studying this morning or week may not be only for your benefit, but for the benefit of the stranger you might meet. You never know how God might use your study of Scripture to influence those around you. According to the Center of Study of Religion of American Culture, 50% of Americans read some form of Scripture in the past year, depending upon what translation, and 48% of those read the Bible. Four in five people read the Bible once a month, and 9% of Americans say they read the Bible daily. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not shocked about these numbers. And to be honest, I'm not often in the 9%. Daily Bible reading does not have to be mundane and boring. There are plenty of helps and resources to help us study and apply the Bible to your lives right now. The Bible is not some old history book that contains great dramas, stories of war and adventure, but rather God's love story and redemption plan for his creation through his son, Jesus Christ. We just have to do our part and be committed to reading our Bibles. This is not legalistic or an overzealous expectation. The fact is, if we want to draw closer to God and understanding him, we need to be reading his Bible regularly. This is a challenge to myself, as I admittedly struggle to read. And this is not just now, but in college. It's funny, you study the college and undergrad and then seminary, you study the Bible so much, but it's different than actually reading it to get something out of it and what the Lord's teaching you. So over the next month, I want to commit to at least 30 minutes of day of pure reading, not just sermon prep or commentary reading, but pure Scripture reading. I encourage you guys as well to set aside time that works for you so you can begin to enjoy the Lord in a deeper way. I know 30 minutes may seem too much for you guys right now, but I ask that you ask the Lord to help you in this. Some of you, you might read for an hour or 2 hours. I can't do that. I can't sit still. I don't know if I have ADHD or undiagnosed, but I know my dad can't sit still, and I can't sit still. I had to get up in my office. I'll work for 30 minutes. I have to get up and go for a walk and come back and read. But whatever works for you or how you want to spend your time, but the point is to be daily in your Bible. It could be 5 minutes, it could be an hour, it could be 20 minutes, whatever works for you. The point is God will help you. We just have to be doing our part and being obedient to reading even when we don't want to. Because in those moments of not wanting to, God shapes us into more mature believers who are more effective for the kingdom of God. The second insight that we'll be focusing on today that comes in Joshua 1 verse 8 is meditating on God's word helps us apply Scripture to every moment of our lives. Again, the second insight that we're looking at from chapter 1 verse 8 is meditating on God's word helps us apply Scripture to every moment of our lives. Meditating on Scripture is not what many people would consider or be consider or be familiar with today when we talk about meditation. When most people hear meditation, they often think of the New Age or Buddhist art of meditation, when there's emptiness of thoughts and becoming one with oneself. This is not biblical and not the definition of the word that's being used here in Joshua. According to biblical scholars, meditation is like a cow chewing on its cud. There's a lot of alliteration there. Eating it over and over again and stewing on it as they consumed their food hours or minutes before. I don't know if you've ever seen a cow graze, but often they're not really like picking up another piece of grass or hay. They've been chewing on their hay or whatever for an hour. And so they're just stewing on it. They're pondering it. And so this is what the Lord's telling Joshua here. Chewing on God's word is the same. We're taking a scripture passage or verse and ponder what this meant in the context of when it was written, what it means for us today, and how we can apply it to our situation right now. Meditation is definitely an art, and often in Christianity, it's not practiced as early as it was 100 years ago. Growing up in the CMA, scripture memorization was very important. I can remember being in Sunday school or Pioneer Club. Pioneer Club, if you guys know, is like Awana, like, you know, Wednesday night kids meeting. And I remember we had a verse for the week. Now, this verse wasn't just growing close to God, as it should have been. It was often the golden ticket to the treasure chest that was full of candy, toys, and what would Jesus do bracelets. While we know memorizing scripture does not earn us anything, it does give us a toolbox for life, especially when we are tempted, saddened, or feel like God is nowhere to be found. Scripture is so much more than mere words. It is God's living word, and it's useful in all areas of our life. For a practical application of how to meditate on scripture, a richer study application of scripture in our lives, there's something called the SOAP method. And hopefully you guys grabbed this little handy, I made it large because sometimes I struggle to read small print, this handy little prayer scripture help. And it's called the SOAP method, and it's an acronym that stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Pray. And the scripture portion, as you'll see, we're going to write out a verse of scripture that sticks out to us and what speaks to us. Then the observation portion, we are to write out if there's any commands or instructions that God is giving us, and we are to ponder what is the author saying to his audience. In the application portion, we are to think through how can we apply this verse to our lives and live in light of this truth. And then finally, the SOAP method, we are to pray. We are specifically to pray and ask God in this method to help us apply this truth to our life and how he might be responding to us through this particular verse. The SOAP method is one of many resources to help with Bible study. However, it is very practical and is simple to follow. And over the next few weeks, I'll be compiling resources to help with our Bible studies. And I've been pondering and praying for a while now to create a Bible literacy class or Bible study that, where we all gather to read. And you know, all of us are different stages of reading the Bible, but there's something to be said about, as a congregation, as a church, reading the Bible together. And so that's something that's been on my heart. I don't know what that looks like, so be on the lookout for that, because I know the importance of studying Scripture together. Lila Gift Akita once said, "The study of Scripture leads to the right knowledge of God. Thus, by studying His Word, we know how to have a relationship with Him and learn how to obediently follow His instructions. This is only made possible through studying God's Scripture." This brings me to my third insight of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, which is obeying God's word brings about success in our lives. The Lord tells Joshua in chapter 1, verse 8, "You may be careful to do according to all that is written in it," written in it meaning the Bible, "for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have success." Now, at first glance, one may be thinking that God is promising Joshua with monetary prosperity, or what we'd call the health and wealth prosperity gospel. This is not the case. The Lord is promising Joshua here a full life where God is at the center of it. He would experience spiritual blessings because of his faithful commitment to the Lord, and others will be blessed because of his godly leadership and commitment to God and the study of Scripture, not because of his success as a military leader and the spoils he may acquire as a result. According to a New American Commentary, in the Old Testament, prosperity is not financial in its primary orientation, if at all. Rather, prosperity refers here to succeeding in proper endeavors. Also, it comes only when the focus of one's effort, in any case, is not on himself, but rather on God and God's relationship with that person. The success is granted by God, not attained by human achievement. Success in human hands pales in comparison to success God gives us, because God goes above and beyond monetary or earthly value. God defines our worth, and our success to the Christian is often found in walking with step with him. Though we may slip up and sin, we can get right back up, pick our brother and sister up when they fall, and encourage them to get back into spending time with God while reading the Word. Tim Keller, famous evangelical Presbyterian pastor on topic of Christian success, writes that if you have money, power, or status today, it is due to the century and place in which you were born, to your talents and capacities and health, none of which you earned. In short, all of our resources are in the end the gift of God. Indeed, success is a gift from God, and the way to have true success is to have a deeper spiritual life with our King Jesus, which can start by having a quiet reading time. Studying Scripture helps us make sense of our world, helps us grow closer to God, lifts us up, and helps us find meaning in every season of life. As I close and invite the worship team up, let us consider the seriousness of God's Word and let it never depart from us, because Scripture is our lifeblood as Christians, and the Bible gives us hope regardless of each circumstance we face. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for your Word. Lord, I'm thankful that it's withstood this test of time. It's withstood different edits and revisions, Lord, and the 66 books that we have right now, Lord, is what you wanted. And I know the Catholics have a very different book, and they have more, but Lord, the Word that we have is your Word. And I'm grateful that it is active and living, and it's useful in all areas of our lives to correct and to teach. And Lord, I pray that we'd never depart from your Word. Lord, because as a church, if we depart from your Word, bad things happen. Look at once prominent churches like the United Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church of America, Lord, they don't even look at your Bible. They don't care. And it's just really sad that the PCUSA doesn't regard the Bible as being from you. And it's just really sad that that's the case, Lord. But I pray that as the CMA, we'd always put you first, Lord, and put your Word first. Put your Word first, because that's where we find hope and we find meaning, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you just help us become on fire for your Word as we're on fire for you, Lord. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. You join us in singing Christ is Enough. You may stand if you want to.
Christ is my reward and all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that can ever satisfy. Through every storm my soul will sing, no turning back. I've been set free. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need is all in all. The joy of my salvation. Nothing will fail. Heaven is our home. Through every storm, my soul will sing. Jesus is here. To God be the glory. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Cross before me, the world behind me, turning back, no turning back. Cross before me or behind me. Lean back, no turning back. Is my reward and all of my salvation. There's nothing in this world that can ever satisfy.
Through
every trial, my soul will sing, no turning back. I've been set free. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need.
Well, let's keep standing for the benediction. Today's benediction comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And then if anyone knows this verse, it's the Shema, which God gave to Moses. And this is, would have been something that Joshua would have recited daily. And so, 1 second. Joshua, or the Lord said to Moses, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord God has directed to you to teach you to observe in the land, that you, your children, and their children, all of them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Lord, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you. And though you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord of your God, your fathers promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I gave you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house, and on your gates. The reading of the word. And so in ancient Israel, and even today among conservative Jews, they tie scripture to their hands and their heads. And even on their doorposts, they have scripture that reminds them their relationship with the Lord. And, you know, we have Jesus. He lives inside of us. But it's interesting that the Jewish people take scripture more seriously than we do as Christians. But what's practice that? You know, let's get on board with scripture. And as we leave today, I hope that you're challenged, like I am, to read more and to be engaged with it. So I pray that you all have a fantastic week. I'm excited for our 4th of July celebration. I know 4th of July has happened on Sundays, but I can't recall a Sunday where I've actually been at church to celebrate 4th of July. So I'm happy about that. And my best friend Joel is coming, and he's a character. He's a good guy. He's very lively, very funny. And so I'm blessed to have him. So I pray that you all have a good week, and we'll see you next Sunday. So you're dismissed.